I'm Brad Peska from KPMG. I think that may have been the acronym that was thrown out there. And even though I work for the company, I can't tell you what it stands for. So we'll just say KPMG. I'm a manager in the Federal Advisory Services practice. And as you heard in the introduction, I was previously not only consulting in the healthcare industry for a number of years, mainly focused on the HIPAA regulations, security and privacy rules, but also was then with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as well as the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT for a short time. My piece of this presentation, it's always difficult to follow David, but my piece of this presentation is going to focus on the federal policy aspects of EHRs and PHRs, and where the current policy measures are established, where they're bringing us, and try to focus on do these policies as they currently stand hold any potential for changing the way or inverting the pyramid, if you will, for the use of EHRs and PHRs. I also want to make sure that we look at some of the issues and barriers that surround it. Now, I'm not going to go through absolutely every aspect of federal health IT policy today. If any of you, thank you. It's extremely extensive, and I think that as we go through these slides, you'll see that that's one of the issues that's here. Even though we have entities that are responsible for bringing this landscape together, it's still there's still a lot of moving pieces out there. And until we start moving forward with the collection of those activities and trying to focus them in a coherent manner towards an end goal, we still have a lot of work to do. So during the discussion today, I'm going to go through a little bit of policy, a little bit of the structures, some of the methods, and then the results that are planned from these initiatives. Let's start off with the top organization. As David mentioned, there was an executive order from the president in 2004 that established the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. Now, this by no means was the establishment of healthcare IT efforts within the government. I know that Ron would fill you in on the entire history there. But what this did was try to identify a central point of authority within the Department of Health and Human Services to focus activities across the federal government and across the nation related to healthcare IT, of which the electronic health records, personal health records, and some of the other activities that I'm focusing on are a part of. But we shouldn't lose sight of the other organizations within the federal structure, as I'm focusing on here, within Health and Human Services, specifically ARC, Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CDC, and then this kind of umbrella organization that fits into the ONC structure, the American Health Information Community, or the AHIC, which is really an advisory committee to the Secretary of HHS. In this particular committee, I'll go into some of the structure of it. But this particular committee, it is an open public forum, but it's really the advisory body representative of major industry participants, if you will. Now, you know, we can debate the membership characteristics or how much involvement is there from certain industry groups, maybe in our question and answer session. But for the most part, you're looking at a broad range of industry participants there. But then, of course, within the Washington, D.C. area, you can't get away from Congress and the several legislative proposals that are out there on health IT. Generally, we hear, at least for this, the remainder of this year, which is short, there probably won't be much movement on these activities with the legislation that has been proposed. But there are a number of bills out there that address aspects of use of PHRs and EHRs, security and privacy issues, and making a greater push towards standardization and interoperability. So those are some of the key buzzwords in the health IT field. Not sure that we know exactly what all of those mean yet, but they're still being worked out. Office of Management and Budget is also another key federal player. There's another executive order that was put out by President Bush in 2006, which basically cited that the federal government, in conjunction with the healthcare or the employers within the healthcare field, make up 70% of the purchasing power within the United States healthcare system. So why not make sure that the federal government itself has the proper institutions and is following these standards that are being set out for the rest of the country? So second executive order in 2006 put some focus on making sure that the federal government put in place those standards which it's setting on the rest of the industry. Very novel concept, and it is still being worked out now. We also want to make sure that we look at any of you who are political buffs looking at the presidential election, there are a series of plans out there, some which differ a little bit from the current administration, but none of them have truly the kind of content that one would be looking for at this point. We'll have to wait and see how those work out. So I mentioned the AHIC work groups as the advisory body to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. There are a number of issues which the community itself is trying to tackle. And even with the varied membership within these committees, you still have differing perspectives. And these specific work groups that are here each have separate sub-communities or sub-organizations underneath them that focus on these issues, ranging from population health to electronic health records and personalized health care. These are listed up here in the order which they were established within the American Health Information Community. But the key point here for you as an audience that's looking to get more involved in these activities is these are public sessions. They're broadcast over the internet. There are opportunities for public input into these forums, usually through open questions or submissions of letters, etc., to the group. But this is one of the avenues that you have to get involved in these activities if you're looking to make a mark there. Some of the issues that are formulated in here are directly become not only policy direction, but focus a lot of the contract and other activities that happen within the federal government. So this is a pretty influential group as far as the Secretary of HHS is concerned. So what are some of these major federal initiatives that I keep alluding to? The majority of these are focused around making sure that the federal government has the proper policy and proper drivers in place that hopefully will then filter down to the state and local levels. So as usual with the federal policy, you look at the wide breadth of activities that are happening out there and how you can affect each one, and then put in place these layers of policy decisions which you hope will make their way to the communities. Even though those may be varied, the focus is here. So far for the administration have been the value-driven healthcare initiative, which is really focusing on quality and cost. So those are some of the key components of the healthcare system. As David mentioned earlier, there are we really getting the value in our healthcare system that we should be? These initiatives are focusing on that, and they're looking at how can health IT be used, how can quality standards, price, information, making that available to the consumers, and making sure that there is quality and efficiency in care. So all of these initiatives are underway, but there really hasn't been substantial results out of these activities yet. So that's something that we're still waiting to see. I know that we'll have additional discussion here, but CMS recently, with the Secretary of HHS, identified that there is a electronic health record adoption demonstration. And I'll let others talk about that. And the second major goal for this administration is the personalized health care. And this is really a different focus from some of the other activities, which are looking backwards at the way the payment system works in the healthcare industry currently and how you can get quality and value out of the payment structure. The personalized healthcare is kind of looking to the future and focusing on how can genomic information be used to populate electronic health records and personal health records, and starting to tie in the genetic related aspects of an individual and the drugs which then may help that individual or influence that individual's care. So there are lots of aspects of these different initiatives, but under the broad umbrellas, it's value-driven healthcare, personalized healthcare. So each of these in its own aspect is really touching around the electronic health records and personal health record initiatives. But we have some more examples here of the detailed activities that are trying to push forward the adoption and use. So I'll go through those in the next couple of slides. The main one that you may have heard a lot about is the Nationwide Health Information Network. This is an ongoing process where the federal government has used a series of contract vehicles to try to prototype the exchanges of information among regional health information organizations or communities within the state and local areas. The initial contracts were really focused more on how do you get the system in place and what are the characteristics of it. The next piece of the contracts, which have started a couple of months ago are focused more on the actual health information exchanges themselves. And how do you take those structures that were developed mainly by the systems integrators with input from the local communities and kind of turn that around and said, okay, now let's look at how this will actually work in the real world and have these health information communities use these systems and see how well the information actually does transfer. We also see here the personal health record initiatives. I have a couple of examples here of the major ones in the federal government. David mentioned that the VA has had lots of leading efforts on EHRs and PHRs. Their specific PHR is the My Healthy Vet portal, which veterans are able to use. I have the address here for you. And this does give them a broad range of information on the encounters that they've that have taken place within the VA system. And I think you'll continue to hear a lot about this project, mainly because of the focus of the population that they're dealing with and just really the push that has been the push that the VA has had on this particular initiative. You also see the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services realizing, as we've mentioned several times, that they have this huge purchasing power and leverage within the federal community to drive initiatives. And one of theirs is the MyMedicare.gov portal. So this is their view of their population, the Medicaid or Medicare population, and how they can provide information on encounters and prescription drugs and just general demographic information to their population in an online secure manner. So these are some specific examples of work that's happening out there now. Two other contract mechanisms that I want to mention to you that also have a far-reaching impact are the Health Information Technology Standards Panel and the Certification Commission for Health Information Technology. Acronyms follow on the slides. These two are focused on the first one, the HITSB organization, is focused on the larger standards issues. This is an ANSI, American National Standards Institute, accredited organization. They do follow the opening balloting processes and other things that are involved with that. And this group is really looking at how can we establish standards for the nation as a whole for exchange of information, for data content, and they're looking at the vast array of existing standards that are out there and trying to, what they call standards harmonization, trying to harmonize those and come to a single set of standards that the entire nation can use moving forward for health information exchange. And then the CCHIT is really focused on the applications and the systems. This is the only federally recognized certification organization for certifying electronic health records. So again, their focus is only on the electronic health record, not on the personal health record. But this is the only federally recognized group for that process. And I think John will give us some additional information on activities that they have going on and some of the products that fall into that category. Nope, that was one slide behind. Sorry about that. So everything that I just said applies to this slide. Anybody want me to repeat it? Okay, good. Yep, and there are handouts in the back also. So you can feel free to yell at me and tell me I'm on the wrong slide. That's fine. I'm on autopilot. Some of the other federal initiatives, again, I'm not listing these out in any kind of priority order, and I'm not identifying these as being bigger or smaller. The implications that come out of each of these is meant to drive and interrelate with the others. Now, one of the issues that the Office of the National Coordinator has had, which has come up in reviews that not only they have requested, but that the Government Accountability Office has performed, is that there are just so many moving parts here that there's additional coordination needed moving forward. But again, the security and privacy issues, and I may be a tad biased here, are some of the biggest ones that face health information technology. And I say that I'm biased because that's been my background, but really if you think about it, a lot of what this comes down to is really what is the proper policy for control of information, flow of information, opting in or opting out of these health information exchanges, and who gets to set those policy directions? Is it the federal government? Is it the states? Is it the local community? Or even more importantly, is it the individual or the consumer themselves whose information is flying out there? So at this point, there are several initiatives that are looking at these issues. And from my personal opinion, a firm ground needs to be established to move forward on these issues, because without the proper footing for security and privacy, we're just going to continue to spin our wheels. There's plenty of technology solutions, but having a strong policy here is really what's needed. The Office of the National Coordinator also looks at health IT adoption and measurement. We heard from David that the U.S., on the last study for health IT adoption, was only 17% adoption rate. And the larger goal of the administration has been to have the majority of Americans with electronic health records by 2014. So this study was from 2006, and if we're pushing towards a goal of having electronic records for most of our community by 2014, we're starting to get very behind on that. So a couple of other things that I have up here just briefly. Stark and Anti-Kickback is looking at removing some of the barriers that existed to allowing organizations to exchange or donate health information technology between provider groups or from larger health systems to providers that are within their organizations. So for any of you who have looked at barriers that have existed in the past, there are some regulations that have been issued by CMS and by HHS OIG to relax some of the restrictions that were in place with donations between physician organizations. So you may want to look at those. For the sake of time, I just want to mention that the state and regional health information organizations, or regional health information organizations that David mentioned, are really collections of communities within a region, or in some case, a community depending on the size of the population. Could be a region in and of itself, but these are organizations that are focused on how do we exchange information within our disparate health organizations that are geographically connected to each other. So the specific activities have been mainly focused on what are the proper structures, what is the proper governance for those organizations, and how should they operate from a high level perspective. But those organizations are also the ones that are focusing on the nationwide health information technology implementation activities. So you're seeing a lot of overlap in those sectors. So what are some of the open issues still from a policy standpoint from the federal side? This whole public health issue, there are pieces of it throughout the federal activities, but they're mainly focused on the payment structure, the physician implementation and adoption, and some of the overall security and privacy and standardization activities. But the public health and how you integrate these activities really needs to be the focus. How does this federal policy filter down to the state and local levels? I think we'll see some of that with the NHIN contracts, but what we would hope would not happen is that you have too much local and state and local effort that would conflict with the federal effort, or the federal effort isn't really hearing what the state and local communities are doing, and they start passing each other. That would be one of the things that'll start to tear the whole end goal of health IT adoption. We also have to make sure that we're focusing on the digital divide, and very closely along with that is the consumer awareness and education. Are we, one, providing the technology capability to those who probably need it the most and that would probably benefit the most from health information technology, but at the same time, are they ready for what we're planning to give them? So there is the drawback of this inversion of the pyramid that if you start providing this additional information on the encounter-based or even the personalized healthcare, given the existing terminology that we use, given the existing coding structure, are we really ready to turn that over to the patient and tell them to manage that for themselves? What would that really look like in their hands, and would they really be able to follow it? So we have to make sure that the consumer awareness and education is a large aspect of this. There are federal efforts there as well. Security and privacy in this landscape is going to be much bigger than just HIPAA. And I know that that's used as a model in some cases, but a lot of the structures and the entities that are coming into play when you talk about electronic health records, and especially personal health records that are controlled by the individual, the security and privacy rules of HIPAA do not apply to those organizations if they're not part of the named covered entities within the HIPAA legislation. So we start to get into that outlying gray area where if there are not state laws or other laws that are restricting that type of activity, that you start to, again, getting back to that privacy and security issue being the major one. And then where is the focus? So far in this landscape of federal policy, the focus is not directly on the consumer. the end state is to improve the consumer's awareness. The end state is to improve the quality and cost information that we're giving to the patient, but we're not there yet. And at this point, I would say I would just put it at a kind of an even likely that the current policy direction will get us to that point. So hence the topic today for our panel. And I do appreciate your time, but I want to go ahead and let the other gentlemen get into the act here. Any questions before we do that? Sure. Yes. Yeah, so the question was, is the most Americans having electronic health records by 2014 documented somewhere? It is, and it's in the, I think, initial executive order from the president. I can try to get that the number itself from you, but if you looked at the HHS website, originally, the quote, I think, was that all Americans would have it, but we realized that in 10 years that was an extremely difficult thing to achieve, so it's now most. What most means, I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's more than 17%, this, without a doubt. So, yes, it has been there as well, yeah. Good. Go ahead. That I will allow. I'm sure that you have that. Go ahead. We'll hold it. So Microsoft Health Vault will hold. Great question. Yeah. Personal health record. So the question is, the terms that we're using in this session overall, the electronic health record or electronic medical record and the personal health record. To answer your question directly, everyone is still wrestling with the exact definition of those two pieces. In my view, and I would assume the folks here would share that, the electronic health record or electronic medical record is that which is held by the provider organization. It's under their control is the easiest way to describe it. Or even under the payer, if you want to look at it from a transaction-based view. Whereas the personal health record is literally that information which is held by the individual, the consumer, the patient. Could be a collection of multiple provider. So you could have a PHR with data from multiple EHRs or EMRs.